Now the Bible reading is from Hebrew 11 and it's called the faith chapter. Now I'll just read verse 1 because it explains what faith is. And it's from the Amplified Bible, which is a little bit different to some of the others. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being proof of things we do not see and conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now we move then on to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was put to the test, that is, while the testing of his faith was still in progress, had already brought Isaac for an offering. He who had gladly received and welcomed God's promises was ready to sacrifice his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your descendants be reckoned. For he reasoned that God was able to raise him up even from among the dead. Indeed, the sense that Isaac was figuratively dead, potentially sacrificed, he did actually receive him back from the dead. With eyes of faith, Isaac, looking far into the future, invoked blessing from Jacob and Esau. Prompted by faith, Jacob, when was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in prayer over the top of the staff. Actually, by faith, Joseph, when nearing the end of his life, referred to the promise of God for the departure of the Israelites out of Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. Prompted by faith, Moses, after his birth, was kept concealed for 3 months by his parents because they saw how comely the child was, and they were not overawed and terrified by the king's decree. Aroused by faith, Moses, when he had grown to maturity and became great, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, because he referred rather to share the oppression, suffer the hardships, and bear the shame of the people of God, than to have the fleeting enjoyment of a sinful life. He considered the contempt and abuse and shame bore for the Christ, the Messiah, who was to come to be greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt, for he looked forward and away to the reward recompense. Motivated by faith, he left Egypt behind him, being unawed and undismayed by the wrath of the king, for he never flinched but held staunchly to his purpose and endured steadfastly as one who gazed on him who is invisible. By faith, simple trust, confidence in God, he instituted and carried out Passover and the sprinkling of the blood on the doorpost, so that the angel, the destroyer of the firstborn, might not touch those of the children of Israel. Urged on by faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as though on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do the same thing, they were swallowed up by the sea. Because of faith, the wall of Jericho fell down. After that, they had been encompassed for 7 days by the Israelites. Sorry, I went on a chapter longer then. Will that do? Yes. Thank you very much.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Now, I know Betty's given you a little sneak preview that we're going to touch on Revelation today, and you're possibly wondering why we're reading in Hebrews. But I wanted us first, before we get to Revelation, just to look briefly at a few scriptures in Hebrews. If you could turn with me to chapter 12. On Hebrews, Jean was good enough to read some of chapter 11 for us. Let's look briefly just at a few verses in chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I wanted Jean to read a little bit of chapter 11, because chapter 12 starts off in a sense of saying, because of all this before. And what Paul wanted to do here was refer back to all that had been said in chapter 11. And if you read through the whole chapter, it gives you a real great encouragement, because it covers all those of the Old Testament who by faith, and as Jean said, it's the verse on faith. And so the chapter 12 starts off, wherefore, seeing about all of these ones, they're examples for us. And we were talking at the table last night, and we were just sharing how great it is to have share times, how encouraging it is for us to see different ones get up and share. Why is it so good for us? Because we can see I'm not the only person struggling with this situation. Or we can get encouragement when we see different ones have been through so much and yet they've found God faithful. And ladies, that encourages us, doesn't it? And this is what the writer wanted to do. He wanted them to sit down, to look at all of those others that have been before them, who trusted God by faith. And he wanted to encourage them. He wanted them to see, look at all those before. Look at those winners of faith. In a sense here, he's using a race. And in these times, just as much as it is very popular at this time, is the Olympic Games. And he's wanting them to put themselves into a situation of thinking of a race. And that's why he says, wherefore, seeing we have so many witnesses before us, we're all in a race, aren't we? In the race of life. And he said, I want you to put aside those things that weigh you down. You know, I do a little bit of aerobics at home. I have a video and I've bought a few videos and got myself a little tramp that was given to me. So I get in there and do my exercises. My little boy said to me, Mommy, why do you do your exercises? He's at this real why stage. And I said, oh, I just like to. And he says, why have you got a big fat tummy? And I said, watch it, boy. And Daddy said, listen, honey, there's one thing you've got to learn about a woman. And I went on to sort of teach him a few hints. But when these people train for their races, they'll wear weights. My husband's bought me a few weights. And they're little things, and I can strap them around my hands here or around my ankles. And now before I had these weights, I thought I was doing pretty good. But now I've got these weights on, I just struggle through my aerobics, my heart goes a million miles an hour, and when I take them off, I feel so free, I feel like I could just about float around the room. And that's what weights do to us, isn't it? They weigh us down. Now, if you look at a race, these men all train with weights. Now, they wouldn't run their race with their weights on, would they? Because it would slow them down. And the writer here is encouraging the believers, put aside those things that weigh you down. The things that tend to slow you down in your faith. The things that tend to make you struggle in your Christian life. And also the sin which does so easily beset us. And you know, ladies, the one area that he was encouraging them here was by faith. And you know, unbelief is a terrible thing. We mentioned last night about the children of Israel and how they continually groaned and whinged in the wilderness. Do you know the thing that the Lord said to me last night when we mentioned that thing? And only two entered into the promised land. Why? Because of unbelief. It's incredible, isn't it? And I know as a young believer, I read through that and I thought, man, aren't they stupid? Because look, if I was there, I'd have been a Joshua, I'd have been a Caleb. I would have believed God, but really, you know, we wouldn't have. Because we're all the same. And we can all have that tendency not to believe God. And it was only 2 out of 12 that believed that God was able to deliver them. And all those people died in the wilderness. You shall not enter into my rest because of unbelief. And that's the same thing that can weigh us down today. Not believing God. run with patience the race that is set before us. And in fact, this word patience is endurance. And he's encouraging them here, hey, don't give up. Don't give up. It's so easy to want to give up in our Christian life. You know, every day is a day of choices, isn't it? One of the ladies shared last night with me, she wants to get up in the morning and you make a choice, Lord, I'm going to walk with you. And then the kids start fighting and down the tube it goes. And it's just a matter of choosing God by faith, isn't it? I want to walk with you because, ladies, we're in a battle. Paul mentioned in Ephesians, put on the whole armour of God. Why? Because you're in a battle. And the battle is in your mind, where the flesh and the spirit war against one another. And the battle, ladies, is in our home. You know, as a young mum, I would go to class and, yes, Lord, I can walk with you in class. And, yes, Lord, I can walk with you with my friends. But, boy, when I get in that door and the kids start fighting and whinging and... I found it so hard with young children to really walk with the Lord. And it was only as I began to see that it's a matter of choices. When you see the temptation to walk in the flesh, that's when you've got to turn to God. And here's what the writer is saying, looking unto Jesus. And we can't do it in our own strength. We've covered that this weekend. We have to choose to walk in the Spirit. And here he's speaking about Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Just turn over quickly to Hebrews chapter 4. This was a real encouragement to me as I was going through this particular area of finding the Lord sufficient in the home. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us come boldly therefore unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy to find grace to help in time of trouble. And as we begin to see Jesus as our great high priest, ladies, that's a real thrill to our Christian experience. And I know as a young mum, often getting up during the night, and I'd be thinking, I'm the only one. You're the only one going through this, and I've got five kids, and you begin to feel sorry for yourself, and everybody else has got two and three. There's always someone worse, isn't there? But the thing that gave me encouragement was it came to my mind that he had suffered the same thing. He knew what it was like to be a mum. He knew what it was like to have babies in the house because Mary had other children. And ladies, that gave me such an encouragement because I knew that because he had been through it without sin, that if I walked with him, I could go through it too. And it gives us such an encouragement. Just a few weeks ago, a special friend of mine came to me and she said, look, I just want to share this with you. This is what a few of the other ladies are saying about you. And she mentioned a few things, and I said, well, you know, thank you very much. That's great. I said, just go back and say, yeah, that's true. And she was shocked. And I said, well, if they knew the half of it, I'm a lot worse than that. And but deep down, ladies, that hurt. I was hurt. And I went home and I shared that with my husband. And he had an appointment, he had to rush off, but he said, look, you just don't take any notice, and you know what you've got to do, and if you've failed, you just press on. But after he left, I sobbed. I don't think I've ever cried so much in my life, and whether it was because of pride or I was just too sensitive, I don't know, but I was in the bathroom sobbing, thinking, I've got to go back to work, I'm a mess. And the Lord encouraged me, he said, because you know how we are as ladies, I felt like nobody loved me then. I thought because of what a few people had said, everybody thinks about me, and Marty's not here, and the kids are at school, and it just gets worse and worse and worse, doesn't it? Down we go. And I sobbed. And the thing that came to my mind was he said, Val, I was totally rejected by all men and deserted by my own disciples whom he loved. And he was alone. And I took courage from that, and I thought, our walk isn't dependent on the acceptance of others, and we will be rejected by those we love. It's a matter of life. But we are never rejected by God. And it gave me a source of courage. I don't know if you've read Corrie ten Boom's book, but when she was arrested by the Germans, she She was forced to strip naked and parade before the Nazi officers. And this is a very shameful thing. Do you know what gave her encouragement? He was naked. He was naked on the cross. And because of that, she just went on through. And ladies, I don't know what struggles you're involved in. I don't know what hurts you've had. I don't know where you're at. But I know this, that God is totally committed to you. And he is our great high priest. And whatever you struggle with, whatever you face in life, I know this, that you can trust him by faith. And that's a real encouragement to us. Look quickly with me over in Matthew chapter, let me remember, chapter 14, down to 22. And straight away Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side, while he sent the other multitudes away. And when they'd sent the people away, he went up to a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the middle of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus said unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. Let's stop there, because what I want to point out here is Peter, when he had his eyes on the Lord, he could walk on water. Now, I'm not pretending for a minute that if you go down to that dam that you're going to be able to walk on the water. But the principle here is we've got to look to him and not to our own circumstances and our own situations, because things will come. You must keep your eyes on him. Now let's step over to Revelation, which is all what we're waiting for, I know. You know, we haven't mentioned this verse in our studies this weekend, but it did come to my mind as we've been talking about knowing God. And just let me quote it for you. This was Paul's aim in life: "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." And you know, as a believer, I've always adopted that aim. Yes, Lord, I want to know you. And yes, Lord, I want to know the power of your resurrection. But I don't know too much about this suffering bit. But as Sue gave testimony last night to us, often as we look back in hindsight to those struggles that we've faced or those tribulations that we've faced, they become high points in our spiritual experience, don't they? This is what Paul meant. It's when we get to that point that we really need God and he's there and he ministers to our heart, it becomes a real high point in our Christian experience. By faith. Ladies, let's be believing believers. You know, I often wondered after I was saved, I thought, boy, why don't we just go straight to heaven? Who wants to mess around in this place? But ladies, we're not saved to get stuck. We're saved for a purpose. And we can declare to all men this glorious gospel. Sue was just sharing with us this morning about a young lady. She was able to just share with her that she overheard her saying, "I'm just going to kill myself." And she went up and she said, I've got something that can give you hope. Isn't that fantastic? Ladies, we've got the message of life. What a privilege. But I know as we go through our Christian experiences, there's going to be discouragements for you. There's going to be hardships. You're going to be rejected. You're going to lose loved ones. All these things may await you. But this is the thing that can give us hope. We look back to the cross, don't we? Because that's where our salvation lies. And as we're walking our Christian experience, we're looking up to our great high priest. And again, we're looking forward. What to? The glory that awaits us. Why is it that the Lord Jesus could endure those things? He knew what was ahead, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And the joy was that he knew man would be reconciled to God. And that gave him the inspiration to go on. And ladies, it can give us an inspiration to press on in our ministry, in our Christian experience, because of what's ahead of us. It's like the light at the end of the tunnel. Read with me from Revelation chapter 22. And starting from verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And ladies, that's our encouragement today. That's our light at the end of the tunnel. We know what's ahead. This can encourage us to press on. Because ladies, though there be tears here, and though there be discouragements and disappointments and night, there's a time coming when there'll be no more tears, no more curse, but we'll ever be with him to serve him. And that's, ladies, what I hope will be a message of encouragement as we leave this weekend. Because as we leave this place, we step out into the battlefield of our home. I don't know what's waiting you at home. I know what's waiting me. I've already told you. It's a great big mess. They've already confessed to try and lighten the load when I walk in the door. And, ladies, I'm going to try and not notice that. I'm going to try because I want us to have a good time. I don't want to allow that to, threaten our fellowship together as husband and wife. But let this be an encouragement to you. This is what is waiting us. You know the old hymn, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." And this is the thought that can give you inspiration for whatever you're going through. And, I'm encouraged with the Lord Jesus. Often he called his disciples aside, didn't he, into the mountain to pray, to gain strength to go back out into the battle. And that's why weekends like this are so good for us. We can retreat, gain strength, and may you take what you've heard this weekend and use it in your life. Because knowledge is nothing unless you use it in your life. And be encouraged because he knows what it's like to be a mum. He knows what it's like to be 16. He knows what it's like to be tired, to be lonely, to be busy. I don't know what you're like when you're tired, but when I'm tired, I'm a different person. When Marty's hungry, he's a different person. And as we recognise these areas of weakness in our life, we can get to see that this is where I need you, Lord. In this area of my life, Lord, I am tired. I've been busy some days and I think, Lord, even though I'm busy, help me rest in you in the busyness. And ladies, I know you all are all busy and there are times that you will face all of these things, but take encouragement from this one thing, that ahead of us we await the glory. And take encouragement from that and may some of the things that you've heard this weekend be an encouragement and an inspiration to you.